Investment flash.
Oil is down 5%. The Strait of Hormuz is back in business, and the markets are absolutely loving it, buddy. We are talking a massive tailwind for stocks.
Hold on, Tom. It is Tuesday, June 16th, and while the oil move is loud, it might be masking a much darker story out of China. Welcome to the London edition of Investment Flash. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald.
Yeah, look, Tom's right about the immediate relief, but honestly, calling a 60-day ceasefire a breakthrough feels a bit like celebrating a rain delay in the middle of a hurricane. To be fair, the price action in the US oil fund was brutal in the last session.
No way, Gerald. Look at the tape. The S&P 500 ETF was up nearly 2%, and the NASDAQ 100 ETF surged over 3%. That is not just a rain delay. That is a full-blown momentum party, because cheaper energy is the ultimate gift for tech.
Wait a second, Tom. You're cheering for the NASDAQ while the Financial Times is reporting that China's retail sales just fell for the first time since the lockdowns. This isn't just a cooling off. The Chinese consumer has basically vanished.
The thing is, Marie, it is even worse when you look at the valuations. The China large cap ETF is trading at 0.87 times book value. It is basically being priced for a permanent structural decline. And yet, it keeps finding new ways to hit 52-week lows.
Okay, sure. But isn't that just the value trap of the century? I mean, Gerald, you love a low multiple, but even you have to admit that the leveraged China bull funds being down 38% year-to-date is a horror show.
Yeah, it's a horror show. I'm quite happy to watch from the sidelines, mate. But look, if you want a real reality check on that China slump, just look at the luxury market. $8 billion wiped off the value of the handbag market.
See, this is what I mean about the broadening weakness. LVMH is down 21% year to date, and it's still trading at 20 times forward earnings. In this environment, that is not a discount.
For real? You're telling me people aren't buying $6,000 bags anymore? Next, you'll tell me they've stopped buying Ferraris.
Well, actually, Morgan Stanley just upgraded Ferrari to overweight, with a target of $438. They're saying the launch concerns are totally overblown. It's down about 30% from its high, so it's actually looking like a decent value compression play.
I'm going to push back here. One analyst note doesn't fix a luxury sector that is clearly losing its grip on the aspirational shopper. Even Hermes is starting to look a little less bulletproof.
All right. Luxury is tough, but let's talk about the pivot to defense. Did you see Renault and Thales teaming up for a tactical vehicle prototype? That is a total game changer for a car company trading at 4x earnings.
Honestly, Renault at a price-to-earnings ratio of 4 is one of those things that makes you double-check your screen. It is deeply undervalued, and the defense angle gives them a revenue stream that isn't tied to whether a Parisian architect wants a new electric hatchback.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story right there.
Not so fast on the celebration, though. We have to talk about these U.S. restrictions on AI models. MarketWatch is warning that if the government clamps down on model releases, the semiconductor party could end very painfully.
Oh, come on, Marie. The semiconductor ETF is up 73% year to date. You can't tell me a few regulatory papers are going to derail the greatest hardware boom in history. That's just noise.
Tom, that's the third time this month you've called a major regulatory shift noise. The semiconductor ETF is trading at over 43 times trailing earnings. At those levels, any whisper of a restriction is a loud, ringing alarm bell.
No, but that's exactly my point. The risk is in the hardware. If people rotate out of chips, they're going to go straight into software. The software ETF is down nearly 10% this year. It is the perfect reversal candidate if the AI story shifts from who builds the chip to who writes the code.
Okay, I'll give you the software rotation, but what about Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson calling for a cyclicals rally? He thinks the oil drop is the catalyst for industrials and financials to finally catch up to tech.
Yeah, look, analysts revising price targets after the stocks have already moved is basically a free retirement plan for them, isn't it?
Fair enough. That was a bit of a low blow, Gerald.
He's not wrong, though. But seriously, if we are looking for a broadening rally, we have to talk about the Fed. Chairman Warsh is speaking today, and if he sounds even slightly hawkish, this whole soft landing fantasy for industrials evaporates.
Wait, you're worried about Warsh? After the Iran deal? The market is pricing in euphoria, buddy. I'm staying long the S&P 500 until the tape tells me otherwise.
See, this is the classic Tom move. I remember when you said semiconductors were cooked in the second quarter, and then you bought the dip 3 days later.
Okay, I deserve that. My track record on timing the bottom is about as good as a weather forecast in London. But hey, I'm still bullish on the momentum.
Huh. Calling the bottom on memory chips again? That's like six bottoms this cycle, Tom. Honestly, the most original take we saw today came from UBS. They're saying we actually need an AI stumble for the European rally to be sustainable.
Oh, that's brutal, but I love it. The idea is that the AI hype is sucking all the oxygen out of the room. If tech cools off, investors might actually look at things like Eurozone ETFs or the broader capital expenditure cycle in Europe.
So the bear case for my favorite tech names is actually the bull case for your boring European value stocks? That's convenient, Gerald.
All right. Maybe it is. But look at the Eurozone ETF. It's up over 6% and sitting near 52-week highs. It's not exactly boring when it's making people money.
Look, we have to be realistic. The oil drop is a 60-day interim deal. It is not a permanent piece. If we get to August and the Strait of Hormuz is under threat again, this entire equity tailwind narrative reverses in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Spot on.
So what's the move? We shorting China or buying the dip on Ferrari?
The highest conviction signal today is the China short, hands down. When retail sales fall for the first time since the pandemic, you don't fight that trend. We are shorting the China large cap ETF and the China internet ETF.
I'm with Marie on that, and I'd add a short on LVMH. The luxury handbag slide is just the tip of the iceberg for consumer discretionaries in a slowing global economy.
I'll take the other side on the US stuff, though. I'm staying long the NASDAQ 100 and the industrials. If energy stays low, those margins are going to look fantastic next quarter.
Just keep an eye on the Fed, Tom. If Warsh kills the vibe, those margins won't matter. As always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three people staring at terminals, so you don't have to.
Fair enough. If you're enjoying the show, hit follow on Spotify or head over to investmentflash.com for the full breakdown and the chart that explain why I'm so worried about luxury bags.
Do it. We'll be back to see if the tech rally survives the morning. We're back for the New York edition later today at 9 a.m. New York time.
See you then. Stay sharp.